practice? Real spiritual fruit. The Lord put this series in my heart to talk about this because I think that as Christians, it's very important that we show real spiritual fruit. That people know what we are and what we have to offer by what they see in us. Bad guys are bad guys for a reason, right? Because they do bad things. Therefore, we call them bad guys. Good guys are good guys for a reason because usually they do good things. You know a burglar by his toboggan and his mask, right? You know a Christian by his necktie and suit, so to speak. We produce fruit. And these fruits, people are waiting to see and waiting to receive what we have to give them. I want to start in one verse tonight in John, a key verse here, in John 15, verse 4 and 5. Listen what this says. This is Jesus talking. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me." It's very key to understand this. We talk about spiritual fruits. Next verse, Brandon. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Think about our lives. How do we produce fruit? We cannot produce fruit apart from being attached to Jesus. Because that's who we follow. That's who we belong to. That's who we are. It's who we represent. You ever seen a branch out in your yard, a storm come, knocked off a limb off your tree, and the limb's laying out there on the grass, and it's attached from the trunk, detached from the trunk? That branch is not going to produce fruit on its own laying on the ground. It's detached itself from the main source of life. We are attached. God is the trunk. He is the roots. He's the main thing. And all we are the arms and the hands off of that main thing that are supposed to bear forth the fruit that He produces in our lives. So we can't do anything without being attached to God. That's why so many people say, "You go to church, I don't see that." Because they don't see the fruit is why they don't see that. They ought to be seeing fruit. There was a person I worked with years ago who was very religious. By religious, I mean they taught God all the time. They taught God so much, I told them to be quiet. It's one of those kind of people. You know what I'm saying? That's all they want to talk about. I mean, all they want to talk about. Okay, I get you. But what would happen, people come to me and say, "Hey," said, "you know, this guy's always talking about God, you know, blah, 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 on Mondays, about what happened at church. But he's got a mouth like a sailor and cusses every other breath." What kind of fruit or light is that projecting? Because I'm going to tell you something. I know that we have our issues. I know we have our slip-ups. I know we can get angry and mad. Remember the old Yosemite Sam cartoon? I loved old Yosemite Sam, the old red-headed cowboy. Remember he'd get mad and he would do that, under his breath. He was cussing what he was doing. But he couldn't do it on Looney Tunes. Kids are watching. But that's what he was doing. He was doing all that mumbling. If we are in Christ and we're really attached to Him, should those kind of words be flowing out of our mouths? Let's just get real. How would you feel about me if you're at Walmart and I'm on the next aisle, don't know you're there, and Brian and Shannon stand there, hear me talking to Marjorie, and I'm F-bombing, I'm doing all kinds of nasty words. I bet Shannon and Brian would be like, "Oh my gosh, that's our pastor. I thought he was a Jesus lover. Jesus lovers don't talk that way." And you know what? She would be exactly right. Because if I'm attached to Him, doesn't my communication supposed to change? Because my heart's been changed. My life's been changed. My actions should be changed to produce the fruit of what I am. That's just one example, because we hear that's something very common that we hear all around us. Just trying to make an example. If this convicts any of you, praise Jesus. But that's not what it's for. It's just to make an example. To say, you know what? What am I bearing? What fruit am I? If I'm really attached to Him, if I'm abiding in Him, I should be producing those things that reflect our Heavenly Father. Whatever that is. So we talked about love the first Wednesday. Talked about peace last Wednesday. We're talking about joy. Joy. Man, I want to explain what joy really is. Joy is not going and getting a brand new Corvette and driving around town. Now, that made me pretty happy until I wrecked it going 100 miles an hour. Then I'd be sad again. Joy is not attached to the things of this world. New clothes, new homes, new cars, even new relationships. Not real joy. Those things make us happy, but those same things can be gone. A Corvette can go kaput. A girl or a guy relationship can be broken. A house can burn down. Clothes fade away. Our health even fades away. But the one thing that doesn't fade away is what Christ has done for us. And that's where our joy is tied into, what Jesus has done. And no man can take that away. No possession can take that away. No message can take that away. What Jesus done's already done. It's finished. I've got a future home waiting on me, the kingdom of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit to that day of redemption, a reward, 1 Peter says, reserved for me that fadeth not away, that's waiting on me. So what? Life gets hard. I get that. But don't attach your joy to your job or to your even relationships or to your money, because all of those things can change. But the one thing that doesn't change is the plan of God he's already made. And that's why we sung that song, I've got the joy. Why? Because I've got the love of Jesus living in my heart. That's why I'm happy. You know the old song, the old song, the Eye on the Sparrow. I sing, I'm not a little June, believe me on this. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Oh yeah. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know, yes, I know he watches. He watches over me. That's what he does. Man, I felt that myself. Woo, felt that soul. I will tell you, we sing because we've got the joy of the Lord. Remember the old thing, if you're happy, you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy, you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy, you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. You've got to know, though, what you've got joy about. And for so many people, they have no joy because they don't know what Jesus has done for them. And they go through all of life missing it. So let's get into some scripture talking about joy. We're going to start out in the book of Psalms. We've got several in Psalms. Psalm 71, 23. Got a lot of scriptures. We'll go through these. You can jot them down and go back later and reread them. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto you, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. I sing because my soul's been redeemed. That's why I sing. I'm happy because my soul's been redeemed. I'm not getting what I deserve. But God, you paid the price for me. And that's why I can have joy. That my sin no longer is my master. I'm no longer a slave to the way I was born. But I've been reconciled and redeemed back unto Christ because the price has been paid in full. So my lips sing. Next scripture. This is Psalms 33, 21. My heart shall rejoice. Now rejoice, we see that also, same thing as joy. I rejoice in him. See, our joy has to be about him, not about what's happening all around us. This is what happens to so many people. When the first thing happens in their life, they get discouraged. And they say, I'm going to stop coming to church. I'm going to stop, you know, doing this. I'm going to stop reading my word. I'm going to stop praying because nothing matters. You know, this, I lost my job. Well, maybe you lost it because God's got something better waiting on you. You know, we don't know the future God does. But in all things, if we trust him, we're going to have joy. God, I don't know why I lost my job, but you know what? I got joy in you, and I trust you. So I'm going to wait and see what you have planned for me. Because we have trusted in his holy name. My joy is attached to my trust in him. Now think about that. My joy is attached to my trust in God. No matter what I see, I trust you, O Lord. No matter what I feel, God, I trust you. No matter how black it looks, God, I trust you. No matter how surrounded and overcome I am, God, I trust in your holy name. And because I trust in you, I can have joy because you have never failed me. You have never let me down. You have never let me slip. You have always walked with me and watched me all the days of my life. You have never disappointed me. You've never dropped me. You've never abandoned me, God. You are there forever and ever and ever. And no man can put us asunder. No problem can divide me from you. There is no hate, no darkness, and no sin that can rob me of the grace that you have put into my life. And that way I rejoice. This is a Sunday morning message, ain't it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, that's what gives us joy. Next verse. Psalm 16:11. Thou will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. Because when we're in God's presence, you know, it's kind of like, as a husband, I hope that I am this. And Melanie told me I am before. As a husband, I want to be the one that Melanie leans on. I want to be the rock that she trusts in. I want to be the one to bear the load. I want to be the shoulder that she can fall upon and know that, you know what, as long as James is here, it's going to be okay. As long as I'm in the presence of my husband, we're together, he's going to make sure everything's all right. I desire that as a husband, as a father, as a man. Everything's going to be all right. When we're in the presence of God, isn't that how we should feel? Everything's all right now. God, I'm okay because I'm in your presence. It doesn't mean my problem's going to change by 3 o'clock tomorrow. But it means I can have joy while I'm waiting on it to change. And it means I can have joy trusting even if I don't see it change. Because I'm in the presence of God. You know why folks, why sporting events are so popular and people love sports? And I'm a big sports guy and I like it. Because for 2 or 3 hours in a game, however long it lasts, we can throw ourselves into that game and escape the reality of all the things around us because we're in the presence of a bunch of maniac screaming fans. And we're all pulling pretty much for the same team. And we're all pulling for the same cause. And we're all yelling together. Some of us yell bad words, but you should never do that because you're Christian now, right? We yell bad words to the refs. We high-five drunks around so we don't even know. I've been at games where drunk people would turn around, that's a good play, what? Yeah. I don't even know who he is. Just high-fiving them. Yeah, man. Yeah. Go Panthers. You know? Don't even know who he is. But, man, when you're in the presence of that atmosphere, you're okay in that moment. When the presence of God, all the stuff that's happening outside seems to go away, and all of a sudden you say, God, I'm okay now because I'm with you. That's where joy comes from. Things can change in a heartbeat. I went by that wreck today on 40, and this car's on its top smashed near Old Mountain Road, and I'm going by it, and I'm, of course, praying. I don't know what happened. I don't know if I got hurt. But I'm sitting there thinking that person's world, whether they died, whether they got seriously hurt or not hurt, but their world changed in an instant. Going down the road and boom, in a moment, their world has changed to some degree. But I know that when our world changes, I've got God I can always go to. Because most of us don't like change. Change is hard for most of us. But if I know God's going with me, everything's okay. You know, we had a lot of change in our personal life a couple years ago, and poor Ashley is in a lot better place now, and I thank God for that. But, you know, poor Ashley, we took her out of her school district. She had to go to a new school. She knew nobody. We moved houses to a different part of the county. She never lived in the same house. She's only known one house her whole life until we moved. Her house is gone. Her school is gone. Her two siblings are out of state. We add on a new building to our church and take the playground she got saved on away. She's a mess. And I told her when she first went to West, I said, baby, me and mama, we prayed about this house. We prayed about the situation. We wasn't looking to be on the side, but this is where God put us. I said, you know what? You're part of this family too. So when God had us move, he knew you'd be with us. So this is part of your plan too. So we don't like change. We've got to trust that God's in the change. We've got to trust him. We can hold on to sentiment of what was, or we can reach to what still is to come. We can stay in the past, what we've always known, or we can step into a future that we've not yet been realized. And with God, as long as God's there, I'll go to the future. As long as God's there, I know God's in it, I have no problem moving forward and moving on. Go to the next verse. 35, Psalms 30, verse 5. Now, we all quoted this verse many times. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, I've heard that preached so many times, or quoted so many times. Weep for a night. First time ever reading this verse, God just showed me something so clearly in my head. These disciples, for 3 days, were weeping, Gail, for a night, weren't they? They were weeping. Their master was dead. They weren't sure of the real plan. They heard what Jesus says, but all they saw was their leader, their rabbi, their friend, their savior, was in grave clothes behind a tomb for 3 days, and they were weeping. Oh, but that third day, something happened, didn't it? The stone was rolled away, and joy came in the morning. For the first time reading that verse all these years, that is the image that hit my spirit, that the disciples, those that loved Jesus, were his own mother, was weeping for him for a night. Oh, but that weeping turned into an eternal joy, because when he came back, he could die no more. And guess what? We could die no more, because he paid the price for death for all mankind through the blood of Jesus. So Mary wept for a while. But when her son came out the third day, hey, mama, I'm back. And I'm back for good. My Savior, the one I gave birth to, is now forevermore my Redeemer. Whew. Next verse. I love Jeremiah 29:11. It's a beautiful, powerful verse of our future. Talking to Israel, but it's really talking to all of us, all of his people. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end. God's got an expected future waiting on us. That's why we can have joy. You know, if you've ever been to a black church funeral, I've been to many. They are very celebratory on funerals. It ain't about that person. There ain't none of this, oh, bless old Earl's heart. That old Earl, that old hunting accident, bless a little hunting redneck heart, he's gone. And oh, bless his, it ain't no pitiful service. You ever been to a black funeral? Oh, yeah, they celebrate. It's like church. Because they're celebrating this saint of God walking into his expected end. They're celebrating the future that they believed in that now has become their present. They are celebrating a child of God seeing the face of God. Yes, we will miss him here, but hallelujah, he's there. Though he's no longer in this body, he is now forever with the Lord. And that's what we celebrate. They understand and they celebrate eternal life. We've got to get back to that. Celebrating eternal life. We all know, now I think all of us know, I don't care how many diets we take, I don't care if you do that new, what is that, Keto system, whatever? Keto system, eat all the bacon you want, you're still going to get, you know, oink, it don't matter. Okay, you can eat salads, eat tofu, do yoga, you know, buy the pants, and do the whole nine works. Join a gym, ride a bike, quit smoking, quit drinking, quit chewing, quit eating high fats, turn to a vegetarian. But guess what? There's no one here that has lived forever in the flesh. We know that we are on a journey here, and we know that we have a limited time in this realm. And I'm not advocating that we just do what we want, though Village Inn is very good. I don't advocate that we just live and just, you know, feed ourselves to death. But what I'm saying is we put so much emphasis on trying to cheat death here in the earth. And nobody has cheated death in the earth. What our focus should be is, oh, Gail, let me ask you something. You're the most senior citizen here tonight. You're the most senior citizen. Do you sometimes get homesick to see the Lord? You have a desire to say, Lord, you know what? Yes. See, perfect. He's homesick. Lord, I'm ready for more. There's got to be more than what's here. And I think the older we get, we really begin to focus on that because we realize that this life will yield itself to something different. And God, just like how he kind of, you know, Melanie said one time, or maybe I read it. I think Melanie said it. Or maybe Melanie read it. Anyway, she was involved somehow. She said that the reason that God made teenagers so bad was that we wouldn't miss them when they're gone. Now think about that. God gives us parents that evolving process. Oh, my sweet little 8-year-old boy. And then when they're 16, 2 years. You got 2 years, buddy. He gives us that process to kind of let them go. It's a natural maturing thing. I don't think my dad would be very happy if I moved back in at 40-some years old. See, he's shaking his head now. He don't want me back home. He's evolved. He's done. I think spiritually, we get to a point where we realize, okay, God, I've lived my life, and I know there's more, and you're preparing me to begin to keep my eyes fixed on that. You know, I think about, Peyton's not in here, right? Think about Steve. Marty's husband passed away of cancer, and he was a young man. And he went through, what, 2 routes of treatments, right? Two rounds of treatment he went through? 2 transplants, yep. And there wasn't a lot of improvement. And he talked to Marjorie and says, I don't want to do it a third time. I don't want to go through it anymore. See, Steve, of course, loved God, knew God. And I'm sure in his mind he was thinking, I don't want to leave my family, no. But you know what? Man, the alternative of not being like this anymore will be a beautiful thing. Because what Steve has now is forever. We live 80 years and we tell somebody, man, you lived a long life. Don't we say that? It's like it's 80. Wow, 80. That's a good life. But man, 80 flies by. 80 can fly by 80 years like that. And we get to a point where we're like, okay, what's next? If our joy is attached to what we're doing here, it's not true joy. Joy is attached to what Jesus has done and prepared. And that's why Paul said, keep your eyes on the prize and press toward the mark. That's what real joy is. I talked to Brother Henderson before he died. I was at his house the night. This is a pastor friend of mine, and a lot of these folks know Pastor Henderson. He used to go to his church. And I went to see him the night he passed away in his home. He had a hospital bed. And I took his hand. I'm talking to him. He couldn't even talk. He got to the point he couldn't even talk. And I held his hand, and I remember looking at him, and I said, brother, it's okay you want to go home. It's okay. Faithful servant. About 3 hours, I got a call from Bill, about 3 hours of me and I left, maybe 4 hours, that he had passed away. Yeah, that's right, he did, yes. When I said that, he groaned. Because he couldn't talk. But when I said that to him, he groaned. And a few hours later, he was gone. I'm sure he lay there and thought, I'm ready to go home. Man, I'm ready for more. See, we are the ones that are left with the loss. Yes. But for the child of God, they gain. They totally gain. That's why it's important our eyes are fixed on eternity and not what's happening here. All of us are going to pass by the way of the grave unless the trumpet sounds while we're still here. And that'd be a glorious thing. That would be wonderful just to be caught up like I am. Lord, here I am, still alive, just change me. But if not, we all go that way. But we don't face death. We don't taste death, I should say. Next verse. Luke 1:30. Look at this. This is when the angel's talking to Mary. Talking about joy. The angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Now that's something to shout about. that Jesus established a kingdom that there'll be no end. It's done once and for all, and I'm part of that kingdom that will never end. This kingdom ends. Every tombstone I've seen has a birth date and a dead date. There's an expiration on those stones. But with the kingdom of God, there's not. Melanie said before, and I love how she says this, that when someone gets born again, that's their real birthday. That's their real birthday. Our good friend Bob Shepherd passed away on Melanie's birthday. So she never, of course, she wouldn't forget a date anyway. But being her birthday was very emotional. And I told her, I said, think about it. What better day for Bob to see Jesus than on your birthday? He got his full redemption on your birthday. Saw Jesus. He left this world of pain and sorrow and all the stuff he had faced and suffered and was seeing Jesus. And Bob had joy because of that. He knew he was going. Look at 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced," where? "In God, my Savior." Mary is saying, my joy, I'm rejoicing in my Savior, in my God. That's where my joy comes from, in my God, not in my stuff. I'm telling you, we can make all the money. We think money is and we understand money is important. We got to have it to survive. But we think if we can get that promotion with that little bit of extra money per hour or that extra little bit of money a week, it just solve all of our problems. And we figure out that it don't solve all our problems. If you're miserable poor, you're going to be miserable rich. If you're miserable skinny, you'll be miserable fat. If you're miserable in anything, just changing that doesn't mean all of a sudden you're not miserable anymore. It takes God and His Spirit filling you to show you what true joy is. When I got saved at 9 years old, I got saved, you've heard the story many times, in a tent revival, I got saved. The Lord drew me from my seat. I was with my mom and dad sitting back in his folding chair in the middle of a cow field. Preacher had an altar call. I felt my hands sweaty. My heart was thumping. My feet couldn't hardly even stand still. As a 9-year-old boy, I walked to that altar by myself and stood with those people at the altar. Got baptized that same week. Came out of the water, and the Holy Ghost was all up on me at 9 years old. I knew what I had was real, and it changed my life. I had a true joy of my Savior, realizing who I was in Him. And see, I want to say that too. Joy comes from knowing your position in Christ and because of Christ. That's for joy. The Bible says that I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir of Christ. The Bible says I'm an ambassador of Christ. The child says I've been redeemed. I've been bought with a price. I've been reconciled back into Him. So if I know who I am in Christ, I'm His child. He's my Father. I'm His Son. He's my King. So I can take joy in my position in Christ and my joy because of what He did for me. She rejoiced in her Savior. Next scripture. Luke 2:9. The angel said to them, this is the shepherds in the field. They're out there, remember, and the angel appeared to them to let them know about the arrival of Jesus. The angel said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to some people." All people. All people. This joy is going to be for everybody because I'm dying for everybody. I die to redeem everybody. I die to redeem every nation, every tongue, every culture, every race, every language. I died for the poor, the rich, the black, the white. I died for those that do good and those that don't do good. I died for the crook and I died for the righteous. I died for whoever. I died for all of humanity. And that's what the joy is, that we can joy that Jesus' price was paid not just for the ones I think deserve it. It was paid for all those that don't deserve it, including me. I've said many times, God has blessed my life, blessed this ministry's life in spite of me. In spite of me, in spite of my ways and my rebellion and my disobedience and my doubt and my mistakes and my weaknesses, He has blessed because His favor is more powerful than my weaknesses. And His light is greater than my darkness. And His righteous hand is stronger than my sinful ways. Because the blood reaches, as we sung Sunday, to the highest mountain and to the lowest valley. It goes on and on and on. It still has power to redeem and rescue all that call upon his name, no matter where they're at or what they've done. And that's where our joy comes from. God, I'm happy because I know you and you know me. And we're one big happy, as Barney used to sing, family. Remember old Barney, I love you, you love me, we're happy family with a something here and a something there. Amen. Think about that. We're a happy family. I'm part of God's family. I don't still watch Barney, okay? I just know that from when I raise my kids. I promise. That's one cartoon I don't watch, or whatever you call it. Next scripture. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day. This is what the good news is. This is why they have joy. This day is born to you, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior was born. Therefore, shepherds, rejoice. For what your patriarchs talked about, what David talked about, what Isaiah prophesied, what Jeremiah preached, what Jonah preached, what Abraham believed in, what David believed in, all of these great men of God we read about, what they were waiting on, has now arrived. Today, he says, a Savior is born. All those old saints were waiting on that day, and they believed in that day. They expected that day, and by George, that day came. And that Savior was born, and now joy to the whole world is now available, because no longer is just the Jew saved, or just the ones Jesus handpicked to could be saved, or the ones the Pharisees says are good enough. But Jesus says, now joy is to all the world and to all humanity, because a Savior is born. That's why we have joy. Next scripture. John 16:21, this is Jesus speaking as well. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now I understand, I've never been there, thank God. I know it's painful. I know it's a struggle. But what Jesus is saying here is much broader than that. Of course you remember the day you gave birth. Of course you remember thinking back, oh, it was either a bad birth or a good birth, or I had pain or didn't have pain. But when you see your child, the pain you experienced doesn't compare to the joy you now have. This is what Jesus did. The pain you suffer here, Nikki, on earth, the pain that you have now on earth, is but for a morning. Joy is going to come. Or for a night. Joy is going to come in your morning. And the pain you're suffering on the earth, however many years we live, is nothing compared to seeing the face of God forever and ever and ever. And that's where our hope is at. And that's why if our eyes are fixed on that, then all of this stuff. See, I've come to realize this, and I know I'm saying it now because there's no danger, I guess, immediately around me. I might feel different if there was actual danger. But I think about this. No matter what happens to me, I know I'm in Christ. And I've learned to have more peace than ever before, not worried about if something happened to me, I'm a God. You know, if a bomb hits North Carolina, I'm a God. If a car takes me out, I'm a God. Not that I live in that expectation, I don't. What I'm saying is I've learned to live with the peace to realize, God, you know my days, and I trust you with all of my days. And whatever day that is for me, God, I know I'm going to be with you. So I just walk the earth enjoying the life that I can and knowing that when my time comes, I'll be with you. So I'm not going to be scared to do this or scared to do this or worry about this or have so much fear, what if this happens? I truly believe that God's got me covered, and when it's my time, and only my time, is when God will call my name. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy life. I'm not going to be afraid of every single thing. Whom shall I fear? The God of angel armies are all around me. Next verse, Brandon. Still Jesus talking. Now therefore you have sorrow, but I will see you again. He's telling his disciples, talking about, you know, I'm going to leave you. You're going to have sorrow for a while, but be encouraged. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away from you. If we place our joy, once again, in the things of this world, we're going to be disappointed because things of this world change daily. What Jesus is saying is, the joy I'm going to give you, I'm going to die, I'm going to leave, you're going to be sorrowful, but when you're going to see me again. And when you see me, I'm going to fill your life. You think Peter ever lost that upper room moment he got? I don't think he ever lost that. Man, that upper room, those 120 waiting on that promise of the Holy Spirit, it came fill that upper room and fill their hearts, fill their mouths, fill their voices. That it was like a, they said there's a sound that had never been heard before. Suddenly, like there's like a mighty rushing wind that rushed into that upper room, and those 120 walked out of there engulfed and saturated by something they had never been filled with before. And when they came out and Peter gave that message, he was full of boldness, full of power, full of conviction, and no man could take that away. They tried. They put Peter in prison. He got out. They tried to run him out of town. He kept preaching, and eventually he was crucified and martyred for the cause of Christ, with never giving it up, saying, I'm sorry, I won't say it no more. He died believing and preaching the gospel of Jesus because Peter had joy. He thought it was an honor to be persecuted with the cause of Christ. It's an honor. Heck yeah. Talk about me for Jesus. Yeah. Throw rocks at me for Jesus. Yeah, I'm down for that. Because if you're doing that, it means I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, showing forth my Father. So, yeah, if you're mad about what I'm doing something right for God. So, yes, I take great joy in you talking about me for the cause of Christ, because it means the message is resonating and it's meaning it's shaking something up. Joy. We have that joy of Jesus. No man can take it away. No man. Romans 5:11. Not only so, but we also joy in God. Remember, here it is again. Our joy is in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Atonement. The word atonement means that we've been restored, reconciled. One definition says satisfaction. In other words, the debt has been satisfied on our behalf. And we now have been reconciled. Not later, not when we see the pearly gates. Paul says now. We now, through Jesus, faith in Christ, what he did, we now been reconciled. We've now been restored. We've now been made brand new. We've now been forgiven of all sins. We now walk in a newness of life because of Jesus. And this is something as Christians we should be demonstrating, is the joy of the Lord. Do you know Christians that don't have much joy? They're mopey and dopey and sneezy and sleepy and maybe not outdoors. They're just, you wouldn't, by looking at her faith, you're a Christian? Why ain't you got no joy? You got to know what you're celebrating. I've got the best wife in the world. I truly mean it. I really mean it. God put us together. 26 years been together. And I take joy that I have my wife. And nobody else does. I take joy that she's mine. And though sometimes I can be, you know, not the best, or I can grumble or complain or fuss at her, and though sometimes we get in a little tiny argument every now and then, man, I wouldn't want nobody else to argue with and nobody else to snap my head off and nobody else to come home to every day. I take joy in that. I take joy in my little Ashley back there. She makes my heart feel good. And I love her. I'm glad she's mine. I've got joy God gave her to me. And when I'm having a bad day, I can think about my daughter and realize what God has given me through my daughter. The one's still at home. The other two are out of the house. They don't count. My daughter at home. I'm like, oh. She makes things better. What we got to realize is that the joy that God wants us to experience, not only experience, but for us to give out and for others to see, is when they look at Danny, man, Danny, why are you always in a good mood? You're always happy. What's going on? There's the chance. That was not thunder. Y'all don't freak. That was a truck. That was thunder? Oh, thank you, Lord. I love when he does that. So awesome. Why are you so happy, Danny? Man, because I'm born again. I'm a child of God. What? I'm a child of God. And I know where I'm going. And I know what my end result is. And I know when all else on this world ends, I know where I'm going to be. And so I count it all joy. Man, we should be showing that. Next verse. We're about to wrap it up. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful. Once again, see how it's always attached back to God. I will be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Isaiah is saying, I rejoice in God because I've been saved and I now am clothed with his righteousness. How many times through our Christian walk have we lived in such shame and condemnation, never realizing our true position in God? Because someone told us that we weren't saved. Someone told us this and told us that. And we can never enjoy our salvation because we're always worried about trying to keep it instead of enjoying what God gave us. Isaiah knew before Jesus even came. 650 years before Jesus came on the earth, Isaiah the prophet is saying, I know what he's coming to do. He's coming to clothe me with righteousness and salvation. And I joy in God. My joy is in the Lord. Next verse. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Always. When you're paying your bills, rejoice you got money to pay them. If you don't have money to pay him, rejoice that God's going to make a way to pay him. And if you can't make a way to pay him, rejoice that one day, hallelujah, you won't have no bills at all because you'll be up in heaven. I mean, there's always a silver lining. Bills don't last forever. A mortgage don't last forever. Poor health problems don't last forever. All of these things are going to give way to the kingdom of God. And now it's raining, so I got to preach another half hour. All right. Next verse. We'll close with this, Proverbs 17:22. Look what it says. I love this little verse. Little verse. Don't mean like it don't mean anything. It's a good verse. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Did you know that there are practices in some countries, or at least I read this somewhere, or back in the, maybe not now, back in the old days, that they would actually have moments of laughing spells to where people would just gather and just laugh together. Just laugh. And you think, how can you do that? I guarantee you right now I could get all of us laughing. Look, you're already laughing. I ain't saying anything. It wouldn't take much to get us laughing. And, man, we start laughing. You know what happens? Don't you love those laughs? I love when Melanie gets really, really tickled. I mean, when she loses it, I love it. I mean, sometimes she'll lose it so hard laughing it tickles me. You get to where you can't even hardly breathe, right? You ever laugh so hard you couldn't breathe? She's laughing so hard. Oh, your stomach starts hurting, right? You start cramping because you're laughing so hard. You're like, oh, my belly. You've laughed so hard. When we laugh, when we have joy, it's a lot better than popping a joy pill. Because a joy pill has a lot of side effects. You might be like, woohoo, yeah. You know, and then 3 hours later, you're like, leave it alone. Thank you, Lord. He is saying this. Joy. It's like medicine. And here's the good news. With no side effects. There's no side effects with the gospel, right? That's right. It's not temporary. That's right. It's forever. It's ongoing. The pills will wear off their effects, but the joy of God does not wear off. You can have joy wherever you're at. Them Walmart days, Teresa, when the lights were flashing and we was all yelling at you to get them registers down, you could still sit there and say, I've got the joy. It's a little further down in my heart. But it's there. Got the joy. Because that's our focus. It's the joy. That's my last verse, right? All right. Ashley. After I spilled my guts about you. Third fruit we talked about, love, then peace, and now joy. And these are fruits that we should be demonstrating, we should be experiencing, and we should be giving away. Joy is something that's real. Roxy, don't you walk home. We can give you a ride home, darling. I want you walk in that rain back here. I know, but you don't need to walk in that rain. By the way, Roxy back here got her permit last week, so congratulations for that. So happy for her. And she's got a job. She's working at Food Lion over by Kmart. So if you're ever that way and see her in there, she's working as a cashier. We're very proud of her for that. So, but joy. Joy is not attached to here. Joy is attached to him. And if you're saved, you should always have joy. because you know how it ends. You know where you're going. You know what all gives. You just know. Precious are the death of his saints, right? Precious in the eyes of God are the death of his saints. A great price was paid for that. All right, this Sunday, don't forget, Sunday nights are our night of prayer and worship, 6 o'clock Sunday night. And kind of what I'm feeling right now to do this is we want to open up that night with some worship songs. And then just a few minutes into that, probably want to open up the altar to just have some time, have just Marge just play some music, and us just pray, however you want to pray, just altar chairs, and just spend some time, just you and God praying. And then if God leads this way, may offer a prayer line to where if you want to be prayed for specifically, you want, you know, to hands laid on to be prayed for, we'll offer that as well Sunday night. I will not have a message. It will not be a preaching message. It will be a night of prayer and worship Sunday night. Start at 6 o'clock. We'll end when God gets done. So don't be looking at your watch at 7:45. We'll end when God gets, or 6:45. We'll end when God gets done. It's a night for us to be refreshed and to just hear what he has to say and for us to pray together. And I want to be a night, too, that if you feel led, you see someone praying and God speaks to you to go pray with them, then do that. It's a night to do that. Go over there, kneel beside them, pray with them, and encourage them if God leads you that way. I want it to be a very open night to where the Lord is leading, and we have just a nice night of just refreshing and a real spiritual connection with God that night. So it'll be 6 o'clock this Sunday night. I think the weather hopefully is going to be pretty decent, looks like, for later that day. Well, that morning it is. I think I looked earlier, it's supposed to clear up mainly. Well, thank you, Miss Negativity. Anyway, yeah, I got the joy. But anyway, be here for that. We're excited. Also, Sunday morning, we are doing our scholarship for Michael York, presenting him with a $1,000 scholarship for his academic achievement. So we're excited about giving that to him. He'll be our 6th recipient of that in the church. And have his little name engraved in the plaque, and we'll present him a check Sunday morning for that. So we're excited about that. So anyway, yes, Marjorie. All right. Everybody good? Not that kind of good. Okay. Well, let's stand our feet. If you have an offering tonight, put on the offering plate over here on the wall. And then hope to see you Sunday morning and invite someone to join us. If they're not going anywhere, just simple invite goes a long way. Never know.